Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The inner man is the real you, at the core of who you are. We might call it the heart of a man. Strip away all the flesh, all the stuff that we have that we may find our identity in. You strip away all of that stuff, and it's who you are, standing without all of that. No appearances, no looks, nothing to identify with, but who you are in character before the Lord. That's the inner man. So many are walking around alive outwardly, talking a good game, doing good things maybe, but the inner man is dead.
How is your inner man? In today's message from Pastor Troy, he teaches us who the inner man is. The inner man is the real you, who you are in character before the Lord. If we were to take away all the outward stuff, all the appearances and the things we use to create identity, would we find our inner man dead or alive? Sometimes we can neglect our inner man with a lot of outward works, but what we really need is inward work. God not only wants us to be alive and to survive, but to thrive. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If we don't open the services with some sense of adoration and awe towards God, it's no wonder we sit and think, who's he to tell me this? We forget who God is. And so songs that adore and talk about his majesty and how big he is are so important even in our worship, because these things impact the way we approach God. Adoring him impacts your prayer when you first get your bearing on who you're talking to. It's a perspective thing. So when praying, begin with adoration, but there's so much more. Verse 16, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's a prayer. The second thing is intercession. Starts with adoration, but then lists all of this as intercession. Now, we could actually go a whole series here on this intercession, but I've already said we're trying to go through so we understand the book, the context. Maybe on another pass, we'll slow down and go much deeper, but I think it's more important that we know the whole Bible than just a verse. Intercession is simply this: you pray for others, not for yourself. You intercede, you pray for them. And I think it's the hardest form of prayer, praying for others. Worship, adoration, those kind of approaches, some like to lock in and, oh man, 59 minutes of that, 30 seconds of the rest, you know? Oh man, God was there. That's the easy part. It really is. You know why? God is awesome. When I really actually engage and I think about it, it's hard not to go, wow, you're awesome. Who am I? Oh Lord. It's easy when I really think about it. Personal petition, asking for myself, that's not so hard either, because I know what I need, or at least what I want. This is what I want. This is how I want it to play out. Lord, Lord, change this situation because I'm hurting because of it. Change it. And there's a lot of me in my prayers. In fact, many often cut out everything else. If there's no time for anything else, adoration, benediction, we'll talk about, intercession, we at least get to this. Okay, Lord, I don't have a lot of time, so I need this and this and this. Can you change this? That's all I got time for. Amen. And then we'll throw in that, you know, personal ending there, that final touch in Jesus' name. And our prayer is so rushed. But praying for the needs of others, that can be difficult. laboring in prayer for others because I don't really know what they need. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm praying for one thing and they need something different? Lord, I don't know how to exactly pray. And so sometimes we'll pray and we'll just go, you know what they need, Lord. You know it. And then we'll go to our list. Now, Lord, I need a... I think this is the area of prayer and the heart of prayer Paul was talking about when he said that we should labor in prayer. It's not labor to pray for ourselves. Now, for some of us, it is. Sitting still for 5 minutes, you know, to give the Lord some time, that's labor. That's not the labor he's talking about. That's discipline. We need to be disciplined. But laboring in prayer is finding out what it is you need to pray about and pray for. Who? What are their needs? Do you actually care about them? It takes discipline to lift someone else up when everything in our flesh says, I need that. What about me? It's more difficult to pray for others because I am more in touch with my needs and how I feel. It's why the Lord often brings us to a place where what we feel tells us we need to pray. But that's not the way we should always have to be brought into prayer. Paul prays for four requests for the Ephesians. First, for spiritual stability or strength. Spiritual stability and or strength. Verse 16 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now, I like that he prays according to his riches and not from his riches. From his riches would be, you've got this many riches, give me some of those. You know, give me some of those. Instead, he's talking in proportion. Lord, you are a very rich man in generosity. You are a very rich, you're a very rich God. And so, in proportion to your riches, Lord, provide strength according to the proportion that you have to provide with. Oh, that's much, much more than just an amount. He prays it for the inner man. Did you catch that? For the inner man? One thing you notice about Paul is that the main focus for him when he often prays is not for the material well-being or even the physical well-being of someone, but for the spiritual well-being. The spiritual building up, the spiritual strength, the inner man. Not that God isn't interested in the physical or material well-being. He did say, ask, seek, and knock. He healed people, blessed people, fed them physically. But of primary concern was not the physical or material, but the spiritual, the inner man. Do you remember when the four friends lowered their paralyzed friend, their lame friend, down before Jesus? Jesus showed his priorities when he said, instead of rise and walk right away, he said, your sins are forgiven you. That's your greatest need. Now, the rest he did to prove to everyone else he had the authority to forgive sins because the religious leaders thought that was blasphemy. He's blaspheming. Only God alone can forgive sins. And Jesus saw, oh, teaching moment. So he said, which is easier to do? Say your sins are forgiven you or tell him to rise up and walk. Now, it's easier to just say your sins are forgiven you. Obviously, anyone can do that. Hey, your sins are forgiven you. We don't know if that happened or not, if there was that transaction in heaven or not. Anyone can say it. But he says, so that you know I didn't just blaspheme, but that I have the authority to do this, watch this. Rise, take up your mat and walk. So Jesus' priority was for the spiritual well-being of a person more than the physical well-being of that person. Better to be lame your whole life and go to heaven than to be able to walk and scream and shout and enjoy life and go to hell. That's Jesus' perspective. In fact, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you, those things that you need. Paul knew that if the inner man was what it ought to be, that the outer man would take care of itself. It would happen naturally because of the decision-making process coming from the inner man. So often we place an emphasis on the wrong part. We're looking at the outside, change the circumstance, change the situation, do this, protect, Lord. But these are the things that the world teaches us as are the priorities. Notice the commercials and how they approach us. They don't ask you, are you needing something for your spirit? They don't ask you about that. They're not concerned about that. It's all about the things that you need outwardly, physically, materially. What will make you stronger? What will make you more efficient? What will make you more effective? What will make you more attractive? All of these things are what the world deals with. But Paul places the emphasis on the inner man. The question is, what is the inner man? What is he? Where is he? Who is he? The inner man is the real you at the core of who you are. We might call it the heart of a man. Strip away all the flesh, all the stuff that we have that we may find our identity in. You strip away all of that stuff, and it's who you are standing without all of that. No appearances, no looks, nothing to identify with, but who you are in character before the Lord. That's the inner man. So many are walking around alive outwardly, talking a good game, doing good things maybe, but the inner man is dead. There is no connection with God. There is no ability to rise up and walk against the current of their own flesh. There is no ability to do that, nor is there a decision in their whole repertoire that exists. In fact, I think there are many who are walking around spiritually alive, but the inner man is what we might call anemic. No ability to lead. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to strengthen the inner man? It means to have your motives, thoughts, and desires controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That the Holy Spirit would strengthen by being much louder, much clearer, and much more in control. So that we are directed by the Holy Spirit of God. It describes a person yielding to the Holy Spirit and that stability and strength that comes from that in their life. There is a strength and a steadiness that comes from letting the Holy Spirit guide you. Because he leads you into truth, where sometimes we lead into things that are a little shady and need to be hid. And so when we follow him, there's nothing to hide. We're strong. We're on solid ground. Our story doesn't break down. There's no reason to run in shame. When we follow ourselves, then there's all sorts of deceptions. We get ourselves into trouble. We know the right thing maybe we should do. We've been told by parents or someone else, but we still do the wrong things.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
But there's a strength and a steadiness that comes from setting our feet on the rock of God's Word, being led by the Spirit of God. As Christians, see, we have two natures. The nature you were born with, which is a sinful nature, and the nature you're born again with. The nature you're born with does not go away when you're born again, but at least you're given a new nature, a guide, if you will. The nature you were born with is the old you. The Bible calls it the old man. The old man is how you used to be, the way you used to think, how you used to view things, what you used to prioritize and do. That's the old man. Paul said we were by nature children of wrath, even as the others, meaning that we were led by the appetites of the flesh, by our own feelings, by everything else, which got us into trouble and made us children of wrath, destined for destruction. But now you have a new nature. The Bible calls that the new man. The old nature and the new nature, guess what? The Bible tells us they're in conflict. See, the new nature didn't kick out the old one. No. They're in conflict right there inside of you. And there's a major war going on. It's a conflict that will last until you're in heaven, although as we mature in Christ, there should be this sense that it was the old man who had the most weight, and now the new man, I'm growing in Christ. But it will still be a battle throughout your whole life until we're in heaven. This flesh is gone. So, whichever nature inside you feed the most, that's the nature that leads the most. This is important. Whichever nature you feed the most is the nature that leads you the most. Don't think that you can consistently feed the flesh and neglect the spirit and just consistently feed the flesh and expect that you will grow spiritually or that you'll be able to make spiritual decisions at the right times. You will not. You will be worldly, carnal. What does it mean to feed the old nature? It means letting things come into your eyes and into your ears, into your thought life, being part of conversations that influence or cause you to be acceptable or more tolerant toward things and actions. It means to let those things go, to let them in. What you invite in through these doors will stir the flesh so that you find yourself drawn toward, drawn into, and even settling into a carnal lifestyle, whatever that is. When you feed the flesh, things like prayer group, things like worship or church, reading your Bible, when you feed the flesh, all of those things become less appealing naturally. If you wonder why your appetite for these things diminish, it's often a direct reflection of which nature you've been feeding. The nature you feed is the nature that grows stronger and thus influences or leads you. So we need to feed the Spirit. We need to pray. We need to read the Word of God. Feeding the two natures is totally different. See, it's like the difference in tending weeds and tending flowers. When you tend weeds, you don't have to do anything. You just leave them alone. But to tend flowers, you got to fight the weeds. You got to fight things. You got to put the fertilizer. You got to do the things that you need for healthy soil so there can be a healthy plant. We must feed ourselves. You know, we walk in a world that gets us dirty. And some dirt sticks more than others, too. You know, depending on what you got dirty with, you know, mud, that may wash off easier than certain greases or other things that get on you. And man, it's hard work to wash. Easy to get dirty. That happens in the process of life. Hard to wash. And so we've got to wash, spend our time washing. Now, we can't spend our life in the shower. Some think they can, I think, but you can't. But we can spend our life seeking the Lord, being in His Word, recalling it as we have to make decisions. We can make that a matter of life and lifestyle. In fact, that's what God wants for us. That's why He says, pray without ceasing. Seek Him. Stay connected. So Paul is praying for strength through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, because that's what they need if they're going to be able to do this. Changing the situations, telling them, you must get along, does not help. But if the inner man is strengthened, that'll change everything for them. So he prays for spiritual stability or strength. You know, by the way, strength is something that is built. You don't just turn it on. There was an article about moose and that during the mating season, they fight. So one becomes the leader. And what determines who will be the leader isn't so much about finesse and know who's cooler. It really has everything to do with strength of their antlers. There you go. I was going to say horns, and that would have seemed like I didn't know what I was talking about. But hey, who doesn't know about moose? So they're antlers. But the point of the article is this. They said that the war that is fought in the fall is won in the summer during feeding season. Whoever gets the most food and the most quality food will be best prepared to win the battle in the fall. So for us, a point. The battles we fight spiritually are already won or lost according to the daily preparations before God prior to the battle. We need to invest now for the battle that comes. So Paul prays that God, according to the riches of his glory, will lavish them with strength and stability in the inner man. In other words, your small time of prayer, I pray that God will meet that with the riches of his strength. Not just match you. Little prayer, little strength. But if you've got little, that he pours out in abundance upon you what you need. Second, Paul prays for spiritual intimacy. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Doesn't he already do that? These are Christians he's writing to. Doesn't he already dwell there? Doesn't he already live in our hearts when we're born again? Well, it's important to understand what the word dwell means here. It's the Greek word katoikeo. And the literal translation could be read this way, that Christ may settle down and feel at home in your heart. That's dwelling richly. The idea is that any Christian can say Jesus lives in me because he does. It's true. If you believe in him as your personal Lord and Savior, he lives in you. Promised. In fact, I'll show you the scripture that tells us this. Unity is just a small part of the mystery. Because Paul's praying and knowing we need help for this to happen. And the greatest part, the blessing, the glories of this mystery, he says, here's the call. But there's also enabling for this that is one of the greatest parts of this mystery that no one ever knew about. Tablets would not empower us, but what would? Christ in us. And that's a wonderful blessing. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. That's the direction that it's all flowing, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to what? To his working, which works in me mightily. This is the blessing of the calling, is his enabling. These are the riches that we have that we're talking about. And a part of the mystery, it's the blessing part. It's the glorious part of the mystery. Christ in you. You can do it if you are in him. So the glory of this mystery, Christ in you. You can't do these things. You can't do what has never been revealed before. And that is coming away from your life and joining this group, the church, and being everything that you've never been. You can't do that. But Christ has been given to you that you can. It's the most important part of the mystery. And here's the thing about that. Simple math. He will increase as you decrease, and not before then. Paul prays that he will feel at home. So yes, they have Christ in them, but he's saying, I pray that he'll dwell comfortably, richly in you, that he'll grow, that there'll be more of Christ, less of you. He'll feel at home. Paul prays he'll feel at home in them because we have something to say about how richly he dwells in us. Unity is the call. Christ in you is the enabling. The question is, does he feel at home there?
We're so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's continuing study through the book of Ephesians. If you'd like to hear today's message again, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll also find an archive of previous messages from Pastor Troy, as well as information about Building on the Solid Rock, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And you'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us on the production team at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek God's hand in your life and that you embrace his blessings and grace in each moment of your day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in